hope that you're all really looking and seeing that fall is coming or is about here, right? Yeah, I know. This is the way it is. You just take it and hold it and go with it. There's a lot of nervousness out there in the country. A lot of thinking out there, a lot of worrying, a lot of fear, a lot of minds just rolling and going and nonstop, and a lot of sleepless nights for many people who are struggling to understand what is going on in our country. If you have your Bibles, I want to go to Ezekiel chapter 37. Some of you may know where I'm going, and that's exactly where I'm going, Valley of Dry Bones. America has gotten dry spiritually because the church has gotten dry. Many pastors and Christians and churches were in trouble, but I want to remind you there is hope. And we'll talk about the hope in just a little bit, but I got to give you a clarity of understanding what's really going on. And we need to look at the church, not the politicians, not the politics, not the economics of anything, but it's the church. It is the church. And we keep thinking that a certain person or a certain type of person, yeah, they can be additive and they can be strengthened, but without the Lord, it's not going to work. I don't care who you have. I don't care what you have, not going to work. Never has. You can go all the way back to the Old Testament and look through it, and you begin to see how the prophets kept telling the kings and the people and the priests, and if they didn't listen to what God wanted them to do, they wouldn't do it God's way, they would end up falling apart, being taken over by another country. But we still keep thinking we can fix it, and we can't. So we're going to dissect this a little bit. I'm going to read the scriptures here, but not yet. I want to talk about pastors for a minute. Some of you know what it was like to be, and I'm praying that our church in pastoring is getting stronger, that we will stay true to what God has called us to do. But there was a time when you heard the name or the title reverend or minister or pastor, that title was respected. Not so much anymore. And we can understand why. Because the prosperity. But it was a time that it was respected. Pastors preached a biblical truth. A biblical truth of what's right and what's wrong and not turning from it. And you would hear those messages. You would hear messages, and I've heard this so many times. We don't need those kind of messages, but we heard messages on fire, hell, and brimstone. We heard messages that says there is a hell. Pastors love their people. They spent time with their people. They love the Lord, and it showed off of them. It resonated off of them. And pastors preached with a passion. Because they love the Lord. They preach with a passion and for the Lord. But today, now, I want to tell you, there are some great pastors out there. I know a lot of them. There's some really good pastors out there. But today, we, in the pastor area, it is really very shaky in some of those areas of the pastor. Why? Because many pastors today are not preaching biblical truth. They are not preaching biblical truth. Whereas in the past, they would preach what's right and what's wrong. And now we don't want to do that. Because we want to make people feel good about themselves. Many preachers preach a social gospel. What's fitting for culture? What's fitting for time? What's fitting for today? And how can the church fit into the world? Today there's no preaching on sin, let alone hell, but sin is not existent in many preachings. And those churches are usually full and packed. Today it's an inspiration message. And then we wonder why preachers are quitting left and right. Forecast came out and said more preachers will be quitting in 2019, but don't stop. More will be quitting in 2020. And now right now there's a lot of churches that are empty with no pastor, and there will be more in the future. Forecasted, that's just the way it's going to be. Never, ever was there ever this thought of seeing a pastor who committed suicide, but now you see pastors committing suicide. We had one in our own state just last year, and that was Southern Baptist. Too much business and not enough Jesus. But it's not all just the pastor. It's the church members. Church members. It used to be that church members carried one another's burdens. They spent time with one another. This wasn't out the door on a Sunday. They actually knew each other's number, phone numbers, and they actually called. Today we might text, but texting, we might put a message out. But let me tell you, it's not that real. It's only real when you really know that person. We'd open the doors for others to help them in our own family, and we'd open up our own doors to help other members when they were going through a hard time. The church had the greatest volunteers in the world. Now you can't get many people to show up to do anything. It was a place, the church was a place of hope, and where you saw salvations on a regular basis and baptisms on a regular basis. It's a place where people sought refuge and a place where they went to when there was a time of trouble. A place of strong fellowship. It's where the soup kitchens and the orphanage were birthed. Was in the church. Many years ago. And America was very strong at it in the 30s and 40s, but then by the 60s, it was all just falling apart because the social system that the government put in there, it just messed it all up. But today, the church members don't want to hear about Center Hill. Church attendance is an optional. I'll go when I want to go. Someone said the other day, I was talking to a pastor peer of mine, and said, I just don't understand, why do I really need to go to church? Really? What? Are you serious? When you don't want to go to church, there's something wrong with your relationship with Christ. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's not optional. An online thing, online is good, but it's not the best. It's not the same. It's what Satan wants. Satan loved this COVID thing. Get the people away from worshiping. Get them on the online thing. It's a great tool, but it's not the same. It's not the same. It's not the same. And today the church doesn't like, church members don't like commitment. Church members don't read their Bibles. We don't pray. Church members are a mess today across the country. But also, it's not just about the pastor, about the church members. It also is about the church collectively. The church has always been a place where you worship God. It's been a house of prayer. A church would fast and do repentance and brokenness and healings and those kind of things. The messy things were brought to the church, and God did many awesome things for those people, and the church was collectively around them. But today, we've turned it into a country club. And let me tell you something. God is shutting the country club down. It's already been forecasted. Mega churches are going to go to this wayside. There'll be some that are strong and good. The country club church. The church with a concert venue and a 15-minute inspiration message. People are starting to see through that. Strong Christians are done with that. They went there, they seen it, they know what the ropes are behind the curtains. They know what it is, that it's not real. God is waking up some people, and they're beginning to flock, they're beginning to leave those places. But they have to have a place to go to where it's real. The churches have closed since this COVID-19. Just talked to the pastor on Friday, and they closed another church, and that was a Southern Baptist church up by the Hammond and Gary area. They had a meal. They did what we did. They fed people. Right now, the attendance in churches right now are less than 50%. We are one of the few. We are one of the few that's over 50% in attendance on a regular basis right now. We are over that. We're over that. Does that make us special? No. If you look across the American church right now, it is a valley and a country of dry bones. There are some churches out there, like I said in the beginning, there are some good strong pastors, there's some good church members, and there are some good churches out there. So let's not say that they're all bad. But we need a wake-up call, and I think we're kind of getting it. God gave a wake-up call in Ezekiel chapter 37. In verse 1, he says this, "And the hand of the Lord came upon me." The prophet said, "The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out into the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there was very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And so I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' And again he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. And I will put tendons on you and you bring flesh and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I prophesied as I was commanded and I prophesied and there was a noise. Suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And indeed, as I looked, the tendons and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over. But there was no breath in them. And he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, says, thus said the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as I was commanded me, and breathed, and the breath came upon them and into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, we ourselves are cut off.'" It is amazing to what has to happen to get our attention. To get our attention. Believe me, we can say certain things were political. Believe me, some things probably were political. But that's not what I want to talk about. What it is God's people are living in sin. God's people have forgotten God. Maybe you have put God on the shelf. Now God's getting tired of that. He's allowing this country to get in a headlock. Right now, there is nothing that we can do to fix it. There's nothing that any politician, any president can fix. It's too big. We already see that they can't fix it. Because it's not a political problem. It is a spiritual problem. And God is not looking, yes, God sees the sin of the lost people. He does. But it is his children, his people, his family that he's looking at. And that is you and I. And God sees it. And we've taken God out of the schools. We've taken him out of all the political places for the most part. Praise God, there's Bible studies in the White House right now. Praise the Lord for that. I believe that Mike Pence is actually there as a Daniel or a Joseph. But they still can't fix it because it's a God thing. It's a spiritual problem. It is a spiritual problem. And we can point fingers at people that we don't like. We can point fingers when we see evil rising up through an individual or a group of individuals. But you can't fix that because it's bigger than you and it's bigger than me And it's bigger than the leadership of our country, but it's not bigger than God. Listen, God can handle 1 billion people. He can handle the world. The Bible says that He has named all the stars. He knows what's going on. This is His house. This is His world. He knows what's going on. Nobody's pulling the wool over His eyes. He's in charge. And it's not about a constitution. It's not about laws over the other side of the world. It's not about the communist country. It's His big ball, and we made a mess of it, but it's still His. And He's in charge. And my opinion needs to go out the door for many things, because my opinion needs to be back in and turn my opinion over to the Lord. Our opinions are tripping us up. Our conversations are tripping us up when we start talking about our opinions. You see, what He had had this prophet do from the very, very beginning was this. He caused me to pass by all those bones in the valley. He wanted the prophet to take a long, good walk and a long, good look. Look at this mess. You see, you can be walking, but you doesn't mean you're alive. You can be breathing, but it doesn't mean you're spiritually alive. You're just a dead person walking. You just haven't died yet. You see, I may die a fleshly death, but I will really, truly never die. I have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. I've accepted that gift of salvation, and I have eternal life with Christ. I will never die a spiritual death. I'm going to be walking with Jesus for the rest of my life. Right now, His Spirit is in me, but one day I'll be walking with Him on a regular basis, every day, for eternity. This day, the next day, and every day after. It's all good. Right now, we're just passing through. We're just working through what we got to work through right now. And we're in a mess. And He said, He had the prophet walking through the valley. And I want you to look at this. I want you to take a long, good look at it. Can you fix it? Can you fix it? He said, can these bones live? And this prophet said, what did he say? Oh, Lord God, you know. He knew that only God knew. Right now, I'm telling you, there is no hope outside of Jesus Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit for America. We need to wake up. But what can we do? We can work on ourselves first. Thank God that God is rich in love and mercy. Amen? God is a God, as we talked about, a God of second chances and third chances and many more. But let me tell you something, time does run out. Sometimes God's mercy, He turns into judgment, He turns into discipline. But only Jesus can restore a life, amen? Look at your own life. Where were you before you had a relationship with Christ? You were a mess. Whether you were drinking, you were on drugs, you were down at the strip joint, or you were down at the bar when you should have been with your family, whatever it was, or you were out womanizing, or you were out manizing, whatever it is, sticking stuff in your body. That's all devil work. That's what the devil does. That's what sin does. It takes you down a road, and it takes you down until it beats you down, until He puts you down to death. But Jesus comes along, and someone shares the gospel with you, and you take a hold of that, and you grasp it, and Jesus will meet you where you are. But He loves you enough not to leave you there. And He'll take you by the hand, and He's going to turn you around. You're going to walk, and it's going to be a little rough for a while. But I'm telling you, the more you let go, the more He takes, the more He'll fix. I am not the man I was when I was in my early 20s. Praise God to that. But am I the man that God wants me to be today? If I answer that question quickly, then I'm foolish. Only God knows the answer to that question. Because my own mind can fool me. My own thoughts can make me think I'm okay, I'm good to go. But you get before God and you kneel before God and you say, God, look at me, examine me today. Let me tell you, His Holy Spirit will examine you just as He does everyone else and in the same way that He examines them. For God has no favoritism. He doesn't love me more than He loves you, and He doesn't love you more than He loves me. Do you understand that? There is no hope outside of Jesus. Do you understand that? Amen? You understand that? All right. So we must get back to living right. Watch what we watch. Watch what we say. Watch what we listen to. Watch what we're saying. Watch this. And we need to watch how we live. Not putting ourselves on a pedestal, just getting right with Jesus. That's it. Not judging others, just getting right with Jesus. We need to pick up God's Word, and we need to get back into God's Word. We need to get back in there and start reading it. Well, I don't read the Bible. Listen, pick it up. You ask God to give you the strength and the oomph to do it, and He'll give it to you. Pick a small Bible, pick a gospel. It'll be good. God's Word says it doesn't come back void. It will fill you up spiritually. Amen? And how many of you know right now that you need to pick up your Bible and start reading it again? Okay? I'm not judging you. I'm telling you. You need to pick up your Bible and you need to read it. We need to get back to worshiping. We don't miss on Sundays because we feel like we want to miss. We show up because we're part of the house of God. We're part of the family of God. We're there not just for my own self, but I'm there to encourage. You know, when you come into the church, people see you and they're encouraged by when they see you. You are an encouragement to other people. It's not all. Once you become a Christian and you start growing, you'll realize it's not a lot about you anymore. It's about what God can do through you to reach others and encourage others and draw others to Himself. And listen, you know it's true. Every one of us struggle in our walk from time to time. We get a little discouraged. It doesn't help staying at home. Amen? It gets worse. It gets worse. We got to get back to praying. You say, oh, Pastor, I pray. Yeah. Pray for yourself and your family and move on. Start praying for others. Now, we're praying for our country because it affects us. We're fearful of what's going to happen in our country. We're bombarded by all kinds of true statements and false statements and a mixture of both, and it's just really bad. It's really bad. But we got to get back to praying, taking prayer serious. We got to get back to worshiping. Now, we're worshiping today, but I'm talking about worshiping out there now. Worshiping in your car, worshiping at your own home, worshiping in your own prayer closet, whatever that may be. Take walks with the Lord, whatever. Worshiping the Lord. Let Him be part of your daily life, not your weekly life. My hope and your hope and America's hope and Huntington's hope, it all is in Christ Jesus, the Son of the living God. That's it. No mayor's going to fix it. No new fresh ideas are going to fix it. All those things I mentioned, they won't get you into heaven. That's just what good, godly Christians are supposed to be doing. Now, do we struggle with those? Yes, we struggle with those. But it shouldn't be our norm. We can have moments and times where we struggle, but these are to increase us and strengthen us as Christians. But Jesus is our only hope. He's the only hope for me. He's the only hope for you. He's the only hope for Huntington. He's the only hope for Indiana, and He's the only hope for America. And He's the only hope for the world. The world can't get it together because it can't get it together. It can't get it together. And there's a bigger picture than the world. There's a bigger picture in the world. He goes on here in verse 12. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Do you know that we have His Spirit right now? These people did not. We have the Holy Spirit in us now. We are without excuse. As believers in Christ, being fully saved, have salvation, baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, with hope of raising, in the likeness of his resurrection, we are without excuse. So when you go and do something that you know you're not supposed to do, you listening to me? When we have the Holy Spirit, we don't have to sin no more. Christians choose to sin. We choose to sin. Yes, we were born into sin. Understand that? But as Christians, we choose to sin. So we can't blame this on nobody else but ourselves. We can't. But I want to tell you, this is a God thing. This is God's fix. Think, Jimmy, this sounds all doom and gloom. Not really. Because what it is, it's this. When we get into our backs against the wall in America, our backs against the wall, some of us are so afraid of November, I think it's 3rd. We're so afraid of it. We're more afraid of that than we are our own son and daughter going to hell. The church is not on fire for Jesus. And it needs to be. It has nothing to do with politics. Nothing. Nothing to do with politics. It has everything to do with a man who knows the Lord, a woman who knows the Lord, standing before God, giving that account, knowing that we're trying to do the best that we can, but we're not trying to do the best that we can. We're not living in the way that God's called us to live. We're accepting homosexuality in the pulpit. I didn't even go there, but I'm going there now. And people are okay with it. It's not okay. It's not okay. Let me tell you, God will not bless that pulpit. God will not bless that pulpit. This is a God thing, and we can't do anything. Just like our own personal problems. If you could fix it without God, you would have fixed it already. Amen? You can't fix it. And you can't, let me tell you, you can't fix everything with money. You cannot fix everything with money. You can't do it. You cannot do it. You can't fix spiritual problems with money. Huntington has a lot of problems right now. I have my phone. My phone's over there. I'm on this piece here where it's Huntington Sheriff's. Where you can look at inmates, lockups, and sexual offenders and see what's going on, right? It breaks my heart when someone goes through our program, our Women's Life House, and I go, again! Went right back again. 6 years. Couldn't get it together. Then you get a letter and you get a nice letter. Oh, I should have left. Right, you should not have left. He's not worth it. She's not worth it. Whatever it is, they're not worth it. And let me tell you, those people who live that lifestyle or whatever, and they're in jail, let me tell you, the only difference for many people is they got caught and you haven't yet. Then I go in there and I look again. I said, oh, come on. Oh, man, I cannot believe that person. And it breaks my heart. I'm not angry because I'm angry and hateful toward them. I'm hurt because they chose the world's way. They let go of God and took hold of themselves, and it never works. It never works. It always comes to a crash. And there's always fatalities. It's the children that are left home because mama couldn't get it right. Oh, you know how big drugs are. Listen, I know how big the Lord is. And I bought a lot of drugs. Except I just put you in jail. Now I'm helping people not to go there. That's what we do here. And now we got groups in the political world trying to make pedophiling legal. Come on. That is the works of the devil. But I will tell you this. It burns me up and gets me excited. But I'm telling you, we are a valley of dry bones. I can't fix that. Because this is a spiritual problem. A spiritual problem. But the Bible gives us hope. But we got to do it God's way. We have to do it God's way. And God has a plan. It's right smack dab in the middle of 2 Chronicles. Mike mentioned it the other day when he prayed. My people who are called by my name. Now listen, he's talking to his people. You can talk to the world, he's talking to his people. You ever have one of them family moments? Okay, I remember this. Boys, get in the room. Come on. Come on, mama, get in the room. We're going to have a chat. We're going to have a talk. Some of this stuff is going to have to stop. It's getting out of hand. And I had to do what I got to do. I had to do what I had to do. And you've done the same thing. Did you want to do it? No, but you had to do it. But it's your family. And here it is. God is saying, if my people, my family, which are called by my name, he singles you out. If you're part of God's family by his name, you're in this clan. He says, if you'll humble yourself, get off your high horse, quit thinking it's everybody else's fault, and look in the mirror, put your hands on the sink, and get real close, and ask God to look at what you're looking at. Humble yourself. Then he says, you pray. Start talking to God. You pray. And you have to seek his face. Which means you have to turn toward him. And the glory of the Lord will shine on you and reveal your junk. And you're missing your sin there, and he'll work out, and he'll talk, and you'll be conversing about that. And you may do it with tears, you may not do it with tears. And then it says that if you humble yourself, and you pray, and you seek his face, so that no going to church stuff is no more, no, I'm reading his word, I'm going to church, I'm volunteering where I can, I'm doing it, I'm serving the Lord, I'm trying to get myself back in gear. And then it says, turn from your evil ways. Turn from your sin. That means you got to walk away. Walk to the Lord. Let me tell you, when you're walking toward Jesus, you're walking away. What? You're walking away from things of the darkness. You're walking away from those sinful things. You're walking away from the old self that was separated, kind of stretched away from God. You're walking toward him. So if you humble yourself and you pray and you seek his face and you turn from your ways, what did he say he would do? That he would come in, that he would hear from heaven, and he will forgive your sin, and he would heal the land. Some of us can't do this. But it's truly not because we can't, it's because we won't. Because we like the things of the world too much. The sin has a hold and grasp of us. And we think that the sin is stronger than God and Christ. It's not. So this whole mess we're in, whether it's pastors or church members or the church or whatever it is, this whole thing is not a physical problem. It is a spiritual problem. And the only one that works in the spiritual realm that can get it together is Jesus Christ. And the awesome part of it is when we do it God's way, he'll flow over into the flesh and he will heal the land. And the physical things will start to heal and you'll start to see fruit in your life again. The sunshine will pierce through the darkness in your life. And you'll become a person that is a little scary because there's a new person. You become a new person. Isn't that scripture? You become a new creation in Christ. Oh my gosh, now I'm not just reading it. I'm experiencing it. I'm not the same person. So many people are doom and gloom and saying, oh, America is going down. America is going down. Listen, if it is, it's because God's allowing it to, and wouldn't be surprised if the second coming of Christ isn't coming soon. But it also could be that God's gotten our attention and saying, wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Listen, do you know what it would be like to put America in a headlock being the number one gospel country? We spend billions of dollars, comes through churches to share the gospel around the globe. You shut down that. But here it is. Scripture says, Jesus says, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Doesn't matter what they do. China has one of the fastest growing churches there. And it's illegal. John MacArthur's out there every week having church, and they're threatening to arrest him, give him a bill. There's a church out there right now that's going through some issues, and they're getting the $5,000 bill. And here's what a church member said. I'm going to pay that this week, Pastor. And they stayed open. He paid the bill. The next week, somebody else said, hey, I'm going to pay that. And they paid it, and they're staying open. Now, you say, well, that must be a bunch of rich people. I don't know. If you thought that thought, then that's you just casting judgment. You don't know where that money comes from. That could have come from somebody that didn't even belong to that church and sent it to a family member and said, keep that church open. I'm all the way over in Ohio, and I want that church to stay open because our church, I just want to, listen, God owns every dollar on the face of the earth, whether it's a yen, a Deutschmark, I don't think he used Deutschmarks anyway, marks, or an American dollar, Canadian dollar. It's all his. Every penny. But listen, the Bible says he also knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. So all creation, all the birds, where the jungles where people never been, God's got his eye there too. The Bible says in the book of Job that God is talking to Job. Can you walk to the recesses of the deep? Which he's talking about. Have you ever walked to the recesses? Have you ever walked on the ocean's floor? God's been there too. Don't you think God don't have this in the palm of his hand? God never sweats. He's never fretting. He don't have anxiety. If you remember your Bible, you'll see that there are a few people that God just says, done. Especially when men would get up and say, Nebuchadnezzar, I am a God. Yeah, he acted like an animal for a while. King Herod. Uh-oh. He said, I'm a God. The angel struck him dead on the spot. Listen, you don't play with God. Not like that. You don't play with him. There's only one God. And God allows those little G's to run around because it's the works of the devil and there's a purpose in it. I don't understand it all, but I know this. There is only one true living God. And he loved you enough to send his son to die for you because we are that big of a mess. And you can sit there and say, well, I just ain't got my joy back. Listen, you better get your joy back. You better do whatever you can with God to get your joy back. Because if you don't got your joy right now in the Lord, I'm telling you this, you're going to be a miserable Christian right now. And the worries of the world, the worries of all the media, all that stuff's going to weigh on you. My joy's in the Lord. Because I know who my Father is. I know who my Savior is. I know where the power comes from. But that's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. So I pray for these pastors. There's a lot of hirelings out there. There's a lot of false prophets, a lot of false preachers out there. And I pray for the church members out there, the ones that are being led in the wrong direction. There's still some good people out there being led in the wrong pastors. And some churches that have missed it, have thrown their vision in the closet. Remember a church I visited, or I was a part of it one time in Fort Wayne. I saw it and I said, hey man, where's that big old 3D scale thing? Oh, it's in the closet. Guess where they're at today? Same place they were 30 years ago. Threw it in the closet. But there's a lot of good churches. A lot of good people. But we still can't fix it. Folks, new life needs God every day. Now, you don't see all the moving parts that goes on in the church. You don't know what's going on with all the ministries and things. Because nobody knows. I don't even know really what's going on because it's a lot of moving parts. But God does. God knows what's going on in every one of your lives. And believe me, God wants the best intentions for you. But the intentions that are for him, that are holy, that are righteous, not the intentions that the world wants. So what do we get from this message? The prophet said, only you, God, only you know. And God began to tell him, you prophesy, say this, thus says the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God. Well, today we need to know this. We still need God. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've walked around and thought that church membership or whatever it is was going to get you into heaven. Let me tell you, you're a walking dead person. You're just not dead yet in the physical, but spiritually you're dead. The only one that can revive that dry bones and that dry spirit in you is Jesus Christ. Because he said he'd come to give life and to give it more abundantly. He that has a son has life, but he that does not have the Son of God does not have life. And I lift my eyes up to the hills and ask, where does my help come from? It comes from the maker, the creator of heaven and earth. Every one of those scriptures point toward Jesus Christ. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Let's stand. Father, as we begin to open up, we can't fix the world, but we can work on ourselves. But we cannot do that alone. We must have you. I pray, Father, that your Spirit will move on those that need to be moved on today. In Jesus' name, amen.